I'm wondering how many of us in this room have ever, probably most of us, have closed on a house. How many of us have ever had that privilege? The majority of us have. Y'all know what that's like. I remember the very first time we closed on a house. And of course, just the figures themselves are pretty scary, right? You're looking at money that you can't really begin to imagine. And anyway, you go to the closing, and you know, people tell you what it's like, but there's nothing like getting there and finding out for yourself. They bring you out a stack of papers, something like that. Anyway, it seems like it's that big of a stack. Somebody once told me they figured every one of those papers represented a lawsuit somewhere along the line, so that's why we have more and more as time goes on. But anyway, they bring out this massive stack of papers, and you start signing until you can't sign anymore. By the time you're done with that, your hands kind of cramped up, and it's really rather painful. But that's nothing compared to the pain that's ahead, because you have committed for at least 30 years that you're going to make payments on that house that you agreed you were going to buy, and of course you're hoping that over 30 years you're going to be able to afford to make payments on it. And of course, a recent phenomenon that many of us have experienced is, the given was that it was going to be worth more as time went on, right? It's a good investment. Sure, that was until about a year ago, and then now it's kind of the other way. So you've signed for something that now is worth considerably less, but a deal's a deal, right? So you agree to pay no matter whether it's up or down. That's the way it is. You decided to sign on the line. I share that with you because in a spiritual sense, there comes a time for every one of us to sign on the line. And we in particular will notice that from the life and example of Abraham as we're spending some time studying about him. Again, Genesis chapter 12 is the passage we want to look at. We looked at that last week and touched on the first three verses. We'll begin there today. And here's what we read. Now the Lord said to Abram, his name later changed to Abraham, the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. You read all of that and it sounds pretty good. God spoke to Abraham. And God revealed himself, God spoke to him, and he made some phenomenal promises to him. We're not going to spend a lot of time at this point looking at the promises. We'll do that in the future. But basically, in those verses, God said, there's three things I want to promise you. First of all, I want to promise to you land. And again, we'll spend more time with that in the future, but that land is modern-day Israel. I want to promise to you descendants. Descendants that we read elsewhere as numerous as the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky. And so descendants, Jews and Christians through faith are those descendants. And then he also referred to a special descendant, seed singular. And we understand that to be Jesus, the Messiah, who has been the way for all peoples of the earth to be blessed. And so God made those promises to Abraham. But as we talk about in just a little bit, they're just simply promises. They don't really become his until he does something with those promises, until he responds and acts and signs on the line. God called Abraham to go from something in order to go to the promises that he had for them. As someone has said, it's a simple but vital decision. You cannot stay in Ur and go to the land at the same time. That's one of those duh kind of statements. That's right. He can't stay in the land of origin, Ur of the Chaldees. He can't stay there and go to the land of promise. It doesn't make sense. If you're going to go to where God wants you to go, that means you've got to leave something in order to go to that which God has designed for you. Last week we talked about Ur of the Chaldees or the Chaldeans being a very, very wicked place. And in fact, someone pointed out to me afterwards, Jeff, about a famous advertising tourism slogan that they had. And you may have heard of it because a modern-day city has used the same thing today. What happens in Ur stays in Ur. Yeah. Well, anyway. That's up there somewhere. Yeah, there you go. See, it's right there on Google. Well, with a little help with a paint program. Yeah, anyway, so that's where he came from, a pretty wicked place. And for God, or for Abraham to receive what God had for him, it involved leaving that kind of an environment to take a journey of faith and to move along to where God wanted him to go. It says in Acts chapter 7, verses 2 to 4, these are the words of Stephen. We referred to those last week as well, but he summarized it well when he said, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you.'" And verse 4 is very interesting. "Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran." Genesis 11, our previous chapter, verses 31 and 32, says they went out from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan, and they went as far as Haran and settled there. Two accounts that tell us God called Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of promise, the land of Canaan, but both of those passages say they went as far as a place called Haran and they settled there. And that's kind of one of those big question marks in our minds. If God said, go to Canaan, but they go as far as Haran, it's like, well, what's the deal that they didn't go the whole distance? And so if we want to make a comparison to our situation, where we live right now here in Tempe, Chandler, Gilbert, or wherever, if God says, I want you to go to California, and we go as far as Avondale or Goodyear and say that's far enough, we might kind of wonder, well, what's that all about? God said, here's where I want you to go, but somehow we just go part of the way and decide that that's going to be good enough. One writer says that traveling from Ur to Haran was a rather secure move in some respects. Abraham had maintained his close family ties, and they were headed for a familiar city. Culturally, religiously, and in most every way, there was little change in their environment. Kind of interesting. So they went from one wicked city to another one that's not that different. And again, we might say, well, what's up with that, Abraham? God said, Canaan, why is it you went that far? It's estimated by some scholars that Abraham and his family may have spent about 15 years in that city. And so again, God's call is clear. He named a certain area. I want you to go to the land of Canaan. But this city of Haran seems like that's adequate enough, and so they go that far and they stay there. An interesting thing as we look at the beginning of chapter 12 in Genesis, after Abraham's father had died, God speaks and reminds him, I didn't say Haran, I said Canaan. And so I look at that and I think that perhaps Abraham's great influence was his father. Maybe his father said, okay, we know what God said, but this is an okay place. Let's stay there. And so maybe he had that influence over Abraham, and maybe out of respect, Abraham goes along with the wishes of his father. Again, that's all speculation. But perhaps that's why God said, I want you to leave your father's house and your relatives. Because here's the voice of the father, here's the voice of the relatives. Okay, God calls this, but we reasoned it out, and this seems to be the logical thing to do. And so God called him not to Haran, where he spent approximately 15 years, but to a land called Canaan. It is estimated from Haran to Canaan, it was about a journey of 400 miles, and it was a southwest journey through some unknown desert region. And so the trip from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran, that's kind of a safe trip. It's along a river. It's along a settled and civilized area. That's not so bad. But now if we're supposed to go to Canaan where God said to go, that's a different story. That's desert. We don't know what all's out there. There's a lot of unknown associated with that. But verse 4 of Genesis chapter 12 says, "So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him." That last phrase is interesting. As the Lord had spoken to him. The Lord may well have spoken to him at least 15 years in advance of that. But finally the time came after his fathers died and God has reminded him of his call. He went forth after a rather lengthy delay. He went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. The great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, which talks a lot about Abraham. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He went out. He obeyed. He took action and did what God had told him to do. This was the critical time in Abraham's life. In fact, we wouldn't know anything about Abraham if it weren't for this fact that there came a time, even if it was delayed, there came a time when Abraham signed on the line. When Abraham came to terms with the call of God and said, "All right, God, if that's what you're telling me to do, I will do it." And so there came the action point where Abraham decided to pack up everything, load the wagons, load the animals, get the family together, and to say, "We're going to go. We're going to go the whole distance. We've gone part of the way, but God said over there in Canaan, now's the time to go." And so there came that time when Abraham said, "I got to act on what God says to me." And so no matter how real the call of God had been, no matter how appealing the promises that we've read about, there came that time when Abraham had to sign on the line and to say, "I'll do what you want me to do to appropriate what you have promised to me." And again, he went out not knowing where he was going. Well, wait a minute. Didn't God say the land of Canaan? Yeah, he generally told him where, but there were a lot of unknowns. He didn't name a specific city. He didn't tell him about what was in between Ur and Haran and into the land of Canaan. And so he went out in a journey of faith into the unknown. The call was very, very clear to Abraham, but the details were pretty much obscured. So he went out not knowing exactly where he was going. I want to pause for a moment and think about what we've looked at in the life of Abraham. There are three locations we have talked about so far. Three locations in his life that are very significant to him, and indeed they represent something of significance to each one of us. Again, there is the place of origin, Ur of the Chaldees. There is that city called Haran that we've talked about, and then finally, there is the land of Canaan. One writer summarizes it very well. He says, everyone is living in one of three places, Ur, Haran, or Canaan. Ur is the land of death and darkness, the land into which we were born. Haran is the halfway house where we gain the outward appearance of being religious, but where there is no inward reality. Canaan is the land of power and blessing, the place of the Spirit's fullness. I like that because we need to pause, to linger, and to think about those three locations and what they do represent to each one of us. Again, Ur of the Chaldees, where he began. It represents our lives before we respond to the call of God. So we might say that is our pre-Christian lives, or at least our pre-obedient lives. And somewhere along the line, we all started out there. There was that place where we were before God spoke to us, in our case, through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so there's the land of origin, the place where we all began, the place where ultimately we hear the call of God, but we haven't yet responded. We're still there. We're still in that place. And so that's one of the locations that represents our lives. Secondly, we've talked about Haran, and we might say that that place represents for us compromise. That represents partially responding to the call of God, much like Abraham and maybe his father who influenced him to say, "Okay, yeah, we understand the call of God, but you know, this is far enough. This is good enough." And so Haran can represent compromise for us, where we might reason it out ourselves and say, "Okay, I know what God wants. I know what God's call is all about, but you know, this is all right. This is further ahead than a lot of people are. This is better than a lot of people do." And so we might reason it out and say, "This is what I will do. This is how I have figured it out. This is how I will follow God on my own terms." Not a good situation. But then thirdly, there is the land of Canaan. And that represents, as the writer says, the land of power and blessing, the place of the Spirit's fullness. And obviously, that's the place where we want to be. We hear the call of God. We go part of the way, but we don't stop part of the way. We say, "I want to go all the way to where God wants me to be, to that land of promise where I experience the fullness of God's presence." That's what I ultimately want. I want to be a Canaan kind of an individual. So again, think about those three locations, Ur of the Chaldees, the city of Haran, and the land of Canaan. It all comes down to the real big question, and that is, where am I right now. If we're going to learn anything from the life of Abraham, we want to make it personal and think about that. He was at one of those three locations so far in our study. And so where am I if I'm going to gauge my life by his example? Am I still in Ur of the Chaldees? Am I still in that place where I've heard the call of God, but I've yet to respond? God is speaking to me, but I so far haven't done anything with it. Or would I honestly have to say I'm in Haran? I've been partially following God. I've started out, I followed the call of God, but again, I've tried to rationalize and reason it out on my own terms, and this is the way I will follow God as I choose to do so. Or can I honestly say that I'm headed to the land of Canaan, that I'm actually pursuing God's will, the place of God's will and His Spirit, even though it's unknown, even though I don't know all the details, that I'm headed in that direction. So again, thinking about where I'm at. Am I in which of those three locations? Ur, Haran, or the land of Canaan? If I would honestly have to say I'm still in Ur, or if I'm in Haran, then the question comes to mind, what will it take to fully obey and pursue the place of full obedience to God's will and God's call? Or, to word it in another way, is anything holding me back or causing me to compromise on the journey of faith? And it's a searching question, but I think it's a very, very good question. We're all on the same journey of faith with Abraham. So again, is there anything that's holding me back? Is there anything that keeps me in Ur, where I have not obeyed at all? Or is there something that's holding me back in Haran, where I've compromised and tried to do it on my own terms? Is there anything that's holding me back? And again, those are good questions for us to consider. To get real specific, I suspect that there are some in this room today who are living in Ur. And that is, you have heard the call of God to be a follower through His Son Jesus, but you still haven't signed on the line. Be that the case, I can relate, because I remember being there when I was a teenager myself. I remember for a period of time, I thought faith is a personal matter. I understood the call of God. I knew what it was, what was involved to become a Christian. I heard it all. I'd learned it all in Sunday school and church. But I was kind of in my Ur of the Chaldees. I knew the facts. I knew the call. But I hadn't done anything about it. And I remember there were people in my church that used to ask me about that and say, you know, isn't it about time you gave your life to Christ? And I used to get very defensive. And I say, you know, faith's a personal matter. I've done it in my heart. That's all that matters. And then some pressed me on the decision of baptism. And that got to be difficult. They said, you know, if you know what's right to do, and you know baptism's part of the process, why haven't you done it? And that was a hard one to respond to, because I realized that was something I saw in Scripture. I knew that was a step of faith I needed to take. But thus far, I had been unwilling. Kind of like Abraham. I had heard the call. I knew what was involved in giving my life to Christ. But I decided it was just between me and the Lord. And if I were to die at a young age, things were all right, because God knew where my heart was. But there came that time when I realized there's a step I got to take. And baptism was clear as anything. I knew that I was called to do that. And so there came that time when I left Ur, like Abraham, and I decided it's time to do something. It's time to sign on the line. And so I did so. Again, I suspect there are those in this room who are living in Ur, like I was, who've heard the call, understand what's involved in signing on the line and following Christ, but who have not taken the step. I urge you to think a lot about it today. If you have not signed on the line, if you have not made a commitment, if you've not responded in baptism, you know it's the right thing to do, you know it's in Scripture. Again, there comes a time when you've got to respond and do something about it. Again, there may be some in this room who are living in Haran, trying to straddle the fence. I want to follow God, but I want to do it on my terms. I want to do it this particular way. I think you know that doesn't work. That's compromise, and that's something that just doesn't work in the plan of God. When God says to go, when God says to do something, we give our whole heart to do it. We don't try to rationalize and reason it out. We just say, okay, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. So it's very, very important not to try to straddle the fence and compromise, but to go with our whole heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny self. An interesting phrase. If you want to come after Jesus, follow God through his Son Jesus, The key thing is we deny ourselves. We get rid of the excuses. And we say, I will not try to do it on my own terms. I'll deny whatever my mind says, whatever I think. I'll deny that. I won't just go to Haran and say that's far enough. I'll say, no, God, if this is where you want me to go, wholeheartedly, that's where I go. And so if it's the unknown land of Canaan and that's what God's calling me to do, I do that. I deny myself and I follow wholeheartedly. Total, complete obedience without question, without conditions. Those are the things that are expected. I want us again to think about those three locations and where our lives are in terms of those places. Ur of the Chaldees, the city of Haran, or the land of promise, the land of Canaan. I want to challenge you this morning, as we also follow with Abraham on the faith journey, to think about decisions that need to be made. If you're here this morning and you've never signed on the line and given your life to Christ, give me one good reason why today is not a good day to respond. I think you'll be hard-pressed to come up with an excuse. Today's the day to act. Again, if you're living in the land of compromise, you know it doesn't work. Today's the day to act and say, I give myself totally, completely over to follow after the Lord. So again, as we identify with Abraham, and a little bit later on in our service as we sing a closing song, I'm going to be available to you if today would be your action day. If you want to respond and say, I want to give my life either for the first time or I want to get rid of the conditions and give my life totally, I want to challenge you at the end of our service today to make that response.